Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. I'm your host, Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And last weekend, Games Workshop kind of, I have to say, kind of undersold this a little bit. They called it the Codex Show, and they're going to describe not only what would be in the two new codices coming out, which would, of course, be Space Marines and Necrons, but it kind of touted as the we're going to show you what the new format of codices are going to be like in 9th edition. About 11,000 people joined the stream, and lots of new models. Believe it or not, there are still models we have not seen yet. Some rules teases, a whole bunch of stuff coming out, as well as the next four codices after. So basically every codex that's going to be released between now and the end of the year. To boot, there was actually a major tournament overseas, which we need to get to as well. So let's get started with the previews first. They started, surprisingly enough, with Necrons, which I thought was interesting. Right, they got the new Necron Dynasty. This is the one that the Silent King is head of at this particular point. I have no idea how to pronounce this.
I would call it Zarakan or Zarakan.
Okay, something like that.
This is actually the one. I'm painting up all my Necron.
And that's the paint scheme that you see in Indominus, right?
Yeah.
Have you tried the new paint?
The new paints that came out. Most of them I like. The only one that I'm kind of underwhelmed by has been the Tesseract Glow. Mm. I don't know if maybe I didn't shake it well, but it just kind of seemed like a very, very kind of yellow-green wash or contrast paint. It's almost like they took one of the contrast paints, watered it down a little bit, but it could just be that I need to. I think I've about figured out a way by warp lightning with it where it'll look a little bit better, a little bit more defined.
Right.
But outside of that, the other stuff's nice.
Cool. Yeah, I'm tempted to dip my hands into those for some other projects. I like those, that color. I think the regular brass is a little too shiny. But we digress. So the first thing we talk about here is this codex will not only include this new dynastic code, but also you can choose your own, build your own dynasty. So I thought that was a neat little thing. So Zarakan, uncanny artificer. I have trouble pronouncing. Ray, take over quick.
Uncanny artificers. I'll just read the roll part. Each time a model with this code as the result of a mortal wound, roll 1d6. On a 5+, that wound is not lost. Each time a unit with this code is selected to shoot or fight, you can reroll one wound, making that a unit's attack. And when the protocol of the Undying Legions becomes active for your army, every unit in your army, excluding Dynastic Age and Satan Shard, has this code. You can select both of that command protocol's directives.
So there's a lot to unpack there, a lot of good stuff, and this definitely gives Necrons a big boost. So right off the bat, if you take a mortal wound, you got a 5+, feel no pain against that. A little bit of a hidden psychic defense, as well as plenty of other sources for mortal wounds out there that makes them a lot more resilient than they were before. And we still haven't seen exactly what Blackstone does to reduce the ability of Psykers, but that alone makes Smite just a little bit less, you know, of a bite into Necrons, which is kind of cool to see. Second thing, each time a unit with this code is selected to shoot to get their one reroll, it's almost like Artificers or the a lot of ones that we're seeing both with Eldar, where they're rerolling one reroll for, you know, for those heavy weapons with only a few shots. So kind of nice, because on wounds, you generally have fewer wounds than you do shots. So there's that extra reroll goes a long way without having to spend a command point. Pretty cool. Now there's a lot in that third sentence, and it's kind of good. So there's a lot going on there. So first of all, when the protocol of the Undying Legion, so what is a command protocol? What's going on here? So they did address this in more detail on the actual live stream than they do here in the written article. And basically, Necrons are getting doctrines. So just like Space Marines have Devastator Doctrine, Assault Doctrine, and Tactical Doctrine, so do Necrons. Theirs are a little bit different. We'll get into that in 1 second. The other thing I thought was interesting, every unit army excluding Dynastic Agent and Satan Shard units. So a couple new keywords. What's going on here?
Yeah, so Satan Shard's pretty obvious. but it's the Dynastic Agent that's curious.
Yeah. So all I can guess is it's the Cryptex, maybe? I don't know. But anyway, getting into the protocols, just like Space Marines, if all Necrons hail from the same dynasty and is led by a character with a noble keyword, so again, new keywords popping up all over the place here. At the start of the game, you can secretly assign one of the six command protocols to utilize during each battle round. So that's kind of mind-blowing, and I'd be curious to see if they do something similar in the Space Marine Codex. So unlike the Space Marine Codex, where you start in Devastator Doctrine, then move to Tactical Doctrine, and then move to Assault Doctrine. So, like, Blood Angel players are just frothing at the bit to get to turn three, whereas Dark Angel players never want to leave turn one. Necrons can actually mix and match and choose, and I'm curious if... at the start of the game. So it's not part of your army list. So you can look at your matchup and decide which order your doctrines will play during the game, which is pretty crazy. Allows a rare opportunity to mix and match against your opponent, which we've not seen a lot of in 9th edition.
And they actually give us an example here.
Do tell.
The Protocol of the Conquering Tyrant. You have two different directives. The first one is to add 3 inches to the range of this unit's aura abilities to a maximum of 12 and increase the range of the following. This unit has by 3 inches to a maximum of 12. My will be done, and rights of reanimate. Directive two is this unit is eligible to shoot in a turn in which it fell back. But if it does, then until the end of the turn, each time a model in this unit makes a ranged attack, subtract one from that attack.
Very ultramarine of them. Pretty cool. So, yeah, very interesting. So, protocols of the Conquering Tyrant, I'm assuming there's four more that they didn't show us. And then maybe there's multiple types based on what groupings you take. Well,
they said that there are six command points, not just five, there's six. So, there, even if you pick even if you pick to use one of each in the battle round, there's one.
So, a lot of neat stuff. Definitely need to take a closer look at this when that Necron Codex does come out. From a competitive standpoint, just looking at the R abilities, if my will be done is still the same, which is plus one to hit movement and advance. I can't remember. It's plus one to charge as well. So that's the one that makes Tesla explode, because now you're getting the magic three hits on five ups instead of six ups. And then what's his face there? Emotech can do it twice. So curious if he can benefit from these particular areas. So now he can give it twice with greater range. That's pretty gross.
Well, you're making one assumption here. You're assuming that nothing's going to change.
That is true. So yeah, it could be only a natural roll of a six as opposed to a six plus or something like that. But we'll see. Lots of luck could come out. The other two, not too sure what's going on. Lord's Will, I don't recognize, and Rites of Reanimation seems a little new as well.
So I don't have any of my Necron stuff from like Indominus or anything in front of me, but I think Rites of Reanimation has something to do with the ability to help out.
Oh, that was the plus one. Okay, yeah. So or assuming that stays the same as well.
Could be from the Kinaptech Reanimate. That could be its ability, its aura ability, right? Again, I don't have any of that. Nowhere near me.
Yep. No problem. So lots still to go unpack. This next one is definitely right up of Ray's alley. So Ray, you've always been talking about, you missed the old days of the customizable Cryptex. Looks like they're slowly coming back.
Yeah. So I kind of want to make this a whole little thing all on its own. Anybody who remembers the 5th edition Kodak, remember one of the things Matt is the ability to make, I think four or five different classes of Cryptech. They were harbingers of blank. A couple of ones that I can remember off the top of my head. There was the Harbinger of Despair, the Harbinger of Destruction, Harbinger of the Storm. And I don't 100% remember the name, but I want to say it was called like the Harbinger of Time, or something along the lines of a word that had to do well. We basically have it, three of them back. So.
And the nice is they're individualized models, because those old 5th edition was just a paint job that made them different.
Yeah. So the first thing they pop up here is they talk a little bit about it, and then they bring up, it's called the Countertemporal Nano. This is for Chronomancer models only. In your shooting phase, you can select one enemy unit within 18 inches of the bearer, and until the start of your next turn, have the advance rolls and charge rolls made for that unit. That can be pretty big, especially if you're playing against a highly...
You can also keep them off objectives. I mean, sometimes people are just counting on, I'm just going to flop my objective secured onto an objective, and then like, oh, we're going to half your advance roll now, so it's D3?
Yeah.
Ugh. Do I really want to give up shooting and charging for a lousy D3 inches?
Yeah. So I just kind of want to, before we go into... Yeah, they popped up the Chronomancer model. He looks somewhat similar to the Plasmancer that we saw in Indominus, in that he's not really a full-body Necron, although this one has more to him than the Plasmancer did. He also has what, funny enough, almost look like dice.
Yeah, they do.
I thought that was Blackstone kind of a dice. Little, like, yeah, it's like, hey, we're kind of recognizing that this is a dice game here. But they're definitely something other than just dice. Hand opening up. The Chronomancers have the Chronometron, which in this new codex is going to have the following command phase. You can select one friendly Dynasty model until the start of your next command roll. Charge rolls made for that unit and models in that unit have a 5.
So that's really powerful for two reasons. One, not just the 5, the reroll charges, which I don't think Necrons had access to before. And the 5 of Invul is always handy as well. But the nice thing is you do it in your command phase 9 inches away, and now you've got it until the next command phase. So that's your turn and your opponent's turn, and the unit is free to leave that 9-inch bubble and do what they need to do. That's awesome. I mean, I can't tell you how many times when my Talos outrange their Homunculus and lose their bonuses. So it's just like, oh, that's really cool.
The next one they show us, Psychomant. This guy's probably the craziest looking one of the three now.
Yeah. So that's the techno goatee going.
Yeah. He's got an aura, the Nightmare Shroud. That name's rule is, while in its model, subtract one from the leadership characteristic of models in the end, subtract combat attrition tests. Take it.
So it's the first time we've heard about this coming. It's the first time we've seen it in print, the ability to, because all the FAQs regarding morale manipulation was strictly morale, but nothing affected combat attrition. This is pretty nasty. If a unit is below half strength in models and it suffers a morale test, which is going to do it -1, it's losing a unit on a 1, 2, or 3. That's that's pretty gross. And this floating digital skull thing is so cool.
Yeah, that's actually one of the coolest things about it. I gotta admit, I saw this on Saturday. I didn't realize it was a skull. But yeah, so
actually didn't notice it at first until they...
Go ahead, didn't notice it.
Yeah. No, I was saying I didn't until they mentioned it on the stream, and then when the thing did like a 360 panorama, I was like, oh, that's cool.
So anyway, between the Psychomancer, Chronomancer, and the Plasma, that's three of the four that I could, of the Harbinger. The only one that here, kind of a comparative term. Now, if we see another Cryptech that basically has, well, in this case, Haywire, that's a Haywire weapon. Mm. Staff, then I'd say that that's probably the new version. Chronomancer is the Harbinger of Time, Plasmancer is Harbinger, and the Psychomancer is the Harbinger.
Yep. Oh, welcome back, guys.
But that's not all they showed us. They also showed us, they gave us a little bit of an example of stuff for Necrons and Crusade. I'm not going to worry too much about that, but for those people who like to play narrative, the slow decay of the self, actually, then they bring up the Silent. The only thing that they really share with basically for Zarek himself and his little thing, in his two pillars, which are apparently called the Triarchal Men. So we've got 8-inch movement. The fun part is, despite the fact that this is a multiple wound model that scales, the only thing that changes as it scales down is movement and attack. So it starts out at movement 8, goes down to weapon skill, ballistic skill, stay at 2+, strength 5, toughness 7. He starts off with 16. Attacks go from 6 to 4 to 2, leadership 10, and a save of Triarchal Men here, which I'm assuming is going to be some protection model, almost like shield. At least this is what I... Movement 8, weapon skill 6, ballistic skill 2, so obviously they can shoot. Some strength 5, toughness 7, 5 wounds, 1 attack, leadership 10, and a...
So, unfortunately, no special abilities were spelled out specifically, so I'll have to wait to see what all the rest of this guy can do. But, always hitting on 2s, even when he's down to 1 wound.
Yeah.
But wait, that's not all.
Yeah. There's another thing they showed us. And actually, if anyone out there has been playing Necrons and they've been sitting on the very metal Wraith, well, now's a chance for you to do some fun conversion to get a whole new model with Ophidian Destroyers. What do they look like? They look like the old Wraith, just at arm.
Yeah, these things are so cool. Those metal Wraiths were a pain in the neck. They never survived like a trip to the hobby store from home. And but these things really do them justice. And they still have the typical Destroyer blades and flensing claws like the way we've seen already. But these guys are very interesting, and there's a lot of hidden tricks in their data sheet, which they showed off.
Yeah. So we don't see points yet. They're a squad of 3 to 6, movement 10, 3+ weapon skill and ballistic skill, strength 4, toughness 4, 3 attacks, leadership 10, and a save of a 4+. They basically have the same kind of weapons have the hyperface thresher. They also have the Ophidian Claws, which is a melee weapon that's speed -1, damage 1, and each time the bearer fights, it makes 2 additional attacks. So their attack, they have 3 attacks, but you're going to be making at least 5 attacks each model.
And if you have the hyperface thresher, you're actually going to get a 6th attack.
Yeah, and that's even better than, of course, the Ophidian Claws.
Yeah, and then there's some more abilities that will just pile onto that, so it's pretty gross. So,
yeah.
Threshers are definitely designed to kill Marines. Strength user, AP -3, 2 damage. And then the upgraded one, which is on the, I'm assuming the Sergeant, or 1 in every 3 models in this unit, can be equipped with 2 of these. Hyperface Reap Blade, strength +2, so put you at strength 6, AP -4, 3 damage. So take that, aggressors.
And the basic special roll for rolling, it's a 1. They've got the special ability for hyperphase where unmodified rolls of 6 score 1 additional hit. They've got the special rule of bodies. Each time a melee attack, you subtract 1 from the attacks. And they have tunneling horrors, which is basically their special ability to allow them.
And add to that the living metal, so they're gaining a wound back at every command phase, reanimation protocols, and command protocols. They do benefit from this new doctrine thing. So, and they're infantry, so they can also help you with some of those actions on the new missions in 9th edition. So, which is a big deal, because I think the old Wraiths were either beasts or cavalry. They were something strange.
I think they were beasts.
Gave them a lot of advantages for movement, but yeah, those rules are obsolete.
And then they showed us one more new model, which I'm sure there are plenty of people that are excited about, plastic flayed ones.
This came out of left field. Yeah, this came out of total left field, because they just came out with plastic ones. Didn't they, or were they fine cast?
Flayed ones? They were fine cast.
Yeah. Oh, were they? Okay. The ones where he's carrying the body behind him. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these look awesome, because the old ones were kind of goofy looking. And my metal ones are kind of weird. They kind of look like mummies. These things will keep you up at night. It's one of those, you're painting them and you'll wake up and all the models are like around your nightstand. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. So I'm assuming by reading the little bit of information below the picture that their claws are basically going to be like the Ophidian claws just have. It is a -1 AP weapon, but they've also got the special ability called Flesh Hunger. Each time a model in this unit makes a melee attack against an enemy non-vehicle unit, an unmodified hit roll of 6 scores 1 additional.
I'm curious to see if they keep their 4 attacks that they have now.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have more than that.
That's a good point. But then, yeah, that starts adding up real fast.
That's actually it so far for Necron.
So lots of cool stuff. Forgot to mention that the destroyers back there were power level 5. So extrapolate as you want to convert power level to points. But a lot of new things we're seeing here. The Nightmare Shroud affecting combat attrition tests. We've not seen that before. And our listener, Mike, who's a frequent responder to the show, he summed it up really well. Yeah, the Necron Codex, sure, it's compatible. How do we make it incompatible? Come out with a ton of new models so you never want to play the old Necrons again. And I think he's right. I could play an all Destroyer army and be very happy with it. It just amazing. I mean, there's some really cool stuff there.
Yeah.
So that, put that in perspective, that codex, the Necron Codex, is supposedly 140 pages, but of course, can't have anything. You know, we already had talked about the Necrons. What else is in that Indominus book? We have, of course, the Space Marines. Their new codex will be close to 200 pages. And right off the bat, not only is it just not just the Ultramarines and a few token other, it is everybody. Ultramarines, Blood Angels, Dark Angels, Death Watch, and Space Wolves will all get the updates in the same codex. And we'll elaborate on that a little bit later. So basically, in the days of, Black Templars get an update, but you got to wait for the Space Wolf Codex to come out to get the same rules. No wait. So actually, when you think about it, you know, according to Best Coast Pairings, one book is going to update almost 30% of the meta in one release. So the first thing they did show off was some more Crusade stuff. And it's kind of it's flavorful. I think it's really cool. It has nothing to do with competitive play, but should you your warlord die and you rather than crossing him off your list and having to restart the character, you can spend a requisition point and put him in a dreadnought, which I thought was really cool. So it really fits to the flavor of the game. So it was really cool.
And apparently you can actually make it a Psykerd. It was like a library which makes me wonder if we're going to see Psykerd Dreadnought outside of just the Blood Angel one.
Oh no, it's a good question. So one thing that was really prevalent was in Psychic Awakenings, this ability to boost up your chaplains, librarians, tech marines, a few of the other characters. Can't remember what the stratagem was, but basically gave them extra abilities. That will be rolled into the new chapter command rules for Space Marines, and it's going to be across, again, all chapters. So, for example, they give an example of Master of Sanctity, which is the chaplain version, and it's pretty similar to what we saw in Psychic Awakenings. So, you do know an additional litany. Can you recite? You can recite an additional litany, so you can get two litanies going at once. And a couple of new warlord traits specific to this particular. So if you make the chaplain your warlord, he gets some additional warlord traits, such as adding one to his inspiring roles, as well as each of the war is selected to use the commanding oratory stratagem. Stratagem only costs 1 point instead of 2 points. We don't know what that. Oh, yes, we do. It's right over here. Each time an attack is made against the bearer, your opponent cannot re-roll the hit, cannot re-roll the wound, and cannot re-roll the damage roll. And the bearer has the following ability, Emperor's Judgment, which is an R. While an enemy unit is within 6 inches of the bearer, each time a morale test is taken for that unit, roll an additional d6 and discard the lowest.
Wow.
So I was wrong. We don't know what commanding oratory stratagem does, but no rerolls allowed with your when you attack me, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah. And so instead of this costing points from a stratagem, this only costs you gain points or power level.
Depending how you play. So they showed off a lot of new models, and at first I was like, what's going on here? Didn't we already see these? I've forgotten that most of the models in Indominus were pushed to fit. So if you don't like the three poses that they were in, rest assured, pretty much every model in that box now has a regular kit as well. So the first thing they come out with is a captain with mastercrafted heavy bolt rifle.
Yeah, so I want to point something out real quick. And it's kind of what we're about to see, what we're about to go through, comes back to something I heard a few years ago, and I don't remember the name of it because they've changed names on their podcast, but we had a 40K centric podcast, which they talked to one of the people who helped design Primaris Marines. This is just before Shadows. He mentioned that they had actually designed a ton of units in not just the Phobos armor, but also Gravis.
Wow,
we're now seeing the.
So brace yourselves. If you thought Space Marines are tough to deal with now, they just got a whole lot tougher. Because in an edition where resiliency and OBSEC rule the game when it comes to holding and winning missions, they have a new unit called Heavy Intercessors. And the captain is just an embodiment of that. What does that mean? Heavy Intercessors. So here's the basics. Toughness 5, 3 wounds each.
They are in Gravis armor, so just like the Aggress, they've got that +1 toughness and that.
And just like Intercessor, you've got an option of 3 different rifles, the Bolt Rifle, the Heavy Bolt Rifle, and the Hellstrom Bolt Rifle. and they have the same usual caveats. One's the Executor Bolt Rifle is the heavy one, strength 5, AP minus 2, 2 damage, 42 inch range. The Heavy Bolt Rifle, which is more standard loadout, 36 inches, rapid fire 1, strength 5, AP minus 1, 1 damage. Or the Hellstrom Bolt Rifle, 30 inches, assault 3, strength 5, AP 0, 1 damage. For added fun, one out of every five, depending which of those rifles you took, can take a heavier version of those particular weapons. So, for example, if you took an Executor Bolt Rifle, one out of every five can have the Executor Heavy Bolter. This brings it up to heavy 2. Still strength 5 and EP minus 2, but it becomes 3 damage. The Heavy Bolter is the one we all know and love, heavy 3, and of course recently changed from damage 1 to damage 2. And there's also a Hellstrom Heavy Bolter, which is 30-inch range. It's heavy 4, supposed to assault 3, but it is 2 damage. So that's for every 5. So interesting, it is a 5-man squad to boot, and can bulk it up to 10. The points level is interesting, because again, we don't have points, but we do have power level, but a 5-man squad is power level 7, and a 10-man squad is power level 14. So power level 7 makes it more expensive than an Onager Doomcrawler.
What's the power level for the Doomcrawler at 6. This point? Is that with the update that they sent out?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of go, huh. Now, they only move 5 inches, so maybe that can help. I'm sure they'll get some sort of transport options. But once you, I mean, again, remember, they did confirm on the stream that these are a troop choice. So they do have OPSEC. As I said, T5, 3 wounds each, 3 up armor, Angels of Death, as well as ability to combat squad. Holy cow. Dropping one of these on an objective, this is going to be very difficult to shift, and this could be very much meta shifting. The same token at power level 7, which is roughly, I think it's 20 points per power level. So it's anywhere from 140 to 180 points for the squad. You may not have that many of these on the table. So, but if you're going to be elite, that's pretty elite.
Yep.
But the hits keep coming. New plastic eradicator squads. These are multi-set, so you can do all kinds of nifty poses. I suppose the ones that came in the Dominus box. Once again, Melta has been confirmed. We've been talking about it the last 2 episodes. It is a 24-inch heavy 2, strength 8, AP minus 4, D6. And if you're inside of 12 inches, it becomes D6 plus 2 damage. So no surprises there, but it's nice to have it confirmed. Blade Guard Vets. Multi-part kit. Even give them some shooting options, which I didn't know they had.
Oh yeah, they've got ranged weapon. It was never the case of them not having it. If you actually look at the models from Indomitant, they've got piston holsters.
I didn't look at them that closely. I saw the sword, so I was like, oh, okay. I had to admit, from a modeling standpoint, there's one that they showed on stream. It's a guy cleaning his sword, and the artist took the time to paint it look like he's cleaning a sword with a flag from a Chaos flag. Army.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
That was really cool. So right off the bat, they do address it very quickly. As the new codex, Blade Guard veterans will officially be picking up the Deathwing Wolf Guard keywords too. So you'll seamlessly fit them as members of the fighting elite within the structure of the Dark Angels and Space Wolf chapters. So not only do you have Blade Guard veterans to play with, you also still have your Deathwing Knights on top of that. Hope you're good at painting bleached bone. That's pretty awesome. Multi-part assault intercessors, which is interesting. So Sergeant has a whole kinds of weapon options, including hand flamer and plasma pistol. Even a power sword, power fist, or thunder hammer.
Which tells me that you cannot have the entire Sergeant.
That's usually enough. So this was a favorite of the potato gun, and it's finally in clear view. Ray, you want to tell us about this new unit for Space Marines?
So the Primaris now have their own speeders. We've got the Storm, which has an onslaught Gatling, 2 Iron Hail Heavy Stubber, and a pair of Fragstorm Grenade Launchers. But there's also another variant called the Storm. It has what they call Tank Bust Grenades and even a tri-barreled Melta. So it's got the Hammer Strike Missile Launcher, Crackstorm Grenade Launcher, and the Melta is called before in Heavy 3 Strength AP. The new Melta half. And in the special rules, it says Ravenwood from the Dark Angels chapter. Accessors, it has the third and final variant, Storm Speeder, Thunder Strike, which we don't actually know about. It's got a solar grenade launcher, and it's got a LASK of some type, but instead of it having bolter effects, it's got what look like cameras, so I'm sure it has to hit better.
So crazy, wacky stuff. So, yep, we finally see what this thing looks like in full view. I have to say, it's pretty cool. It's looks a little larger than the standard Land Speeder, and it's actually got a third guy in the back gunning and the two guys in the front. And that Melta Destroyer gun sounds absolutely disgusting. So just looking at that, three shots hitting on threes. It's two hits, strength 8. So you're probably wounding at least on fours, probably threes. And then pretty easy to get within 12 inches with a speed of 16 inches. So then, yeah, you're averaging 5 damage. So, yeah, you're taking out light vehicles at least one every turn with per Land Speeder. So, gross. Okay, so notebooks on the way. So next four codices you can expect. We have Space Wolves. We have Death Watch, which I was a little surprised by. And then we also have
Blood Angels.
And just to mix it up a little bit, you know, it's not all Space Marines, but it is still all Power Armor. Death Guard, which I kind of went, what? So a couple things that were brought up on stream. Yes, Death Watch, they'll come out with a whole bunch of new rules. Especially using a lot of these new bolt weapons in combination with special issue ammunition. So that's all going to be there. Supposedly the way they mix and match their kill teams will be very different. So curious to see how that transpires. But all the units, which is something that hurt Death Watch for quite some time, every unit that's in the Space Marine Codex will be in that. And in each of these supplement codexes, so Space Wolves, Death Watch, and Blood Angels covers the unique units and the uniqueness like relics and warlords traits and all that fun stuff. So that's kind of cool. There's a new character model coming out for Death Guard, and you may have recognized some of the bits from those extreme close-ups they do in the rumor engine. So don't know much about what this guy actually does. He's a Lord of Virulence, is what he's called.
Obvious by the name, either going to be an HQ or an elite,
and looks like he's got some sort of crazy double barrel flamethrower on the back there, just which can team up with a lot of these synergies that they have is pretty gross. Other thing to point out, if you're looking at the video, it looks like Death Guard are getting an additional terrain piece of some kind towards this weird furnace looking thing that's shown in the background. And so I'll be curious to see what that does for Death Guard as well. But yep, so Death Guard, Space Wolves, Blood Angels, Death Watch, all before the end of the year.
So that's 6 codexes. So we're not seeing any codexes until next October.
Right.
We're seeing 6 codexes. That, of course, comes out to 2 codexes per month starting next month.
Yep.
So we haven't seen codexes come out this fast.
That's right. But wait, there's more. Ray, want to tell us about this one?
The Forge World updates?
Yes.
We're finally going to get an update to the rules for Forge World. They're all going to be in one book called the Imperial Armor Compendium.
So this will be very interesting. They didn't give a lot of details of what's in there other than close to 200 data sheets. But like you said, everything. So where they used to split it up with Xenos, Imperium, and Chaos, not the case. It's all in one book. They're bringing back Death Corps of Krieg. Even they kind of said it was very surprising how popular that army was. So they're going to get their own regimental doctrines. Orc Warboss on bike for all you WOGs are ready to look like they're back in action, rescued from legend status. The interesting thing I thought about this, though, was, we're coming out with this, no date or time. So I'm not sure if this is part of the release schedule between now and the end of the year, but all I can say is the sooner the better, because, man, there's some seriously broken stuff in Forge World. So a couple things that were not brought up, and they kind of touched on it a little bit. And it was interesting the way they did it. It was kind of like a throwaway comment. One thing was very different from the stream from other ones is they seem to be really on point. This one, they seem to be constantly being prodded that they have to stop and get going, that they're falling behind quite a bit with their banter. So right off the bat, we talked about all these Space Marine codices. The one Space Marine chapter that is not going to be affected by any of these codex changes is Grey Knights. They felt that they were too unique in their way of fighting demons. So they will not use any of the codex Space Marines as their core faction. But they said, hang in there, you're going to get your own codex, which seems to make sense based on the lore. So we'll see what happens. The other thing, which I was really surprised by, because this is kind of where my emotions went to as well, says these are all exciting models, but I'm getting a little tired of Space Marines. It feels like I'm at a party and everybody's having a good time but me. So they do say that the first new Xenos Codex will be in January of 2021. No idea what it is, but something...
Well, I can tell you what it won't be.
It will not be Necrons. Astute there, Nostradamus. Appreciate that. So yeah, I'd be very curious what it is. If I was a betting man, I'd say Tyranids, simply because we've seen some updates already to their building instructions. But no idea. Nothing was mentioned. The third thing, which we did not see, which has been rumored and bandied back and forth, which may still be in the books, we just didn't see them mentioned, is individualized codex-specific secondary missions for batch play. So kind of like bringing back the old Maelstrom cards.
Right.
Yeah, no mention of that at all anywhere. So lots of Crusade stuff, lots of new stratagems and updated data sheets and all that stuff, but nothing related to that. So I thought that was interesting that the missions are pretty much where they are today. So that was something we were concerned about from a meta standpoint, that you know certain armies had more access to more stuff in addition to the bump up in their weapons. So, which brings me to our breaking news. You ready there, Ray?
Yep.
All right. As we were talking and recording here, Games Workshop has just released Warrior Weapons and Updates. So interesting stuff. However, before we get into this, I'll quote them here. However, it's not just for Adeptus Astartes who will benefit from all the shiny new rules found within the Codex. These changes will also be rolled out to all other factions that utilize the same war gear, even Xenos races such as Tau Empire and Eldari, at the same time the Codex is launched. So to be clear about this, if your army has a similar weapon that shows up with these massive change rules in October, you will have a new weapon profile. So some of these are not surprises. We've already seen and talked about these in previous episodes. All flamers will go to 12-inch range. Assault D6, strength 4, AP 0, damage 1. Still automatically hit. And the Flamestorm Gauntlet in the shooting mode is also 12 inches as well. Nothing's changed there. And it says right there, winners. First one right off that, Crisis Battlesuit teams, as well as Adeptus Sororitas Dominions and Space Marine Primaris Aggressors. These rules also affect combi weapons. So if you've got a combi flamer, it goes up to 12-inch range. Crazy, crazy stuff. Want some more? Yeah, so that affects Chaos Terminators, Space Wolf Wolf Guard Terminators, and Stern Guard Veterans. Hand flamers also go to 12 inches. They're pistol D6, strength 3, AP 0, damage 1, automatically hit. So that includes not only Seraphim squads, but also Blood Angel Death Company. But yes, Gene Stealer called Acolytes as well. They get those new abilities as well. And of course, Heavy Flamers, of course, 12 inches as well. And they get boosted up to strength 5, AP 1, 1 damage, and heavy D6 shots. Melta weapons, which we talked about earlier on this episode, they reconfirm that again. Heavy 2, strength 8, AP minus 4, D6, add 2 to the damage. And unfortunately, the only examples they gave are all Imperium, so I'm curious, like Heat Lances from Eldari and other Melta type of, like, weapons, do they have something similar? Will those go up? They don't really mention it specifically. They do mention it affects combi Meltas, as well as Infernal Pistols, which I'm like, really? So, don't know if that also affects, I just blanked on the name, Fusion Pistols from Harlequins. So I'm not sure if that will be the same as well. Heavy Bolters, I talked about there. Again, going up to damage 2. That includes the ones on the Bane Blade. Hunter Killer Missiles, 48-inch range, heavy 1, strength 10, AP minus 2, D6 damage. And that includes any vehicles, including a Sentinel Squadrons and Rhinos that can have those. Now, we all knew that the Astartes Chainsaw went up to AP minus 1. That includes Khorne Berserkers, which I did not realize. So Space Wolf, Blood Claws, and Salt Squads all benefit from that. But here's the big change. All your power weapons have got new profiles. Power Axe is now Strength plus 2, AP minus 2, 1 damage. The Power Maul, Strength plus 3, AP minus 1, damage 1. And your Power Sword, plus 1 Strength, AP minus 3, damage 1. And very first one they show, winners, Craftworld Howling Banshees and Vanguard Vets, as well as Adeptus Ministorum Crusaders, which I thought was interesting. And the aforementioned controversy, how do storm shields work now? The bearer gets a 4-up invul save. In addition, add 1 to the armor save throws made by this bearer. And that applies to Terminator Assault Squads, Custodian Guard, as well as Deathwing Knights.
So the only way to take out a Terminator with a storm shield is going an 8 weapon. Something that's got at least an AP minus 1.
Even that doesn't help you because he'll be plus. He'll actually be plus 1 armor, and then your AP minus 1 that'll negate. So he's still being wounded on 2 plus.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if you don't use an AP, if you're using AP 0, he cannot fail his save.
Ones always fail.
But the 1 becomes a 2.
Hold on. I think the rules are unmodified. Ones always count as a fail. I'll have to double check that in the main rule book.
This is where wording like this becomes an issue.
Yes, it does. Want some more weapon updates? Courtesy of Bella Lost Souls, Repulsor Executioner has been updated. It's a close combat monster. Be careful. When it's down to 1 to 4 wounds, it has D3 attacks. More importantly, yes, its heavy bolters are change from damage 1 to damage 2. No surprise there. The big one, though, is the heavy laser destroyer. Goes from strength 10 to strength 12. And the damage goes from a flat D6 to a D3 plus 3. So you're guaranteed at least 4 damage with every shot. And then everything else we've seen before. The macro, plasma, incinerator goes to damage 2. The heavy onslaught Gatling cannon strength 6. Up 1. Iron nail heavy stepper goes down to 24-inch range, but it's heavy 4 instead of heavy 3. And the Twin Icarus Iron Hail Heavy Stepper goes from heavy 6 to heavy 8. So again, no special rules, but those are from the instruction set if you bought the model recently. Need some more Xenos to cleanse your palate?
Sure.
All right, so there's a couple folks that have gotten their preview copies of the newest White Dwarf. And the newest White Dwarf discusses the new reanimation protocols. So the new reanimation protocols, what makes them new and different is how often you test. Before it was, correct me if I'm wrong, at the end of the turn, basically kind of like the morale phase type thing.
For reanimation protocols, no, it would be at the beginning.
Beginning of your turn, that's right. So beginning of your turn, you roll to see how many guys get back. And as Ray has lamented several times, keeping track of that, of which models were died because of shooting versus those who ran away and which ones belonged to which squad was very taxing. Instead, now you make reanimation protocols after every attack. So what that means is I shoot at Ray's Necrons. I kill 4. He gets the roll. We don't know if they're still the same values, 5 ups or 6 ups or whatnot. We're guessing at this point that it's probably going to go up to 6 plus because they mentioned way back when that the warriors reanimation protocols were not quite as good as, say, the lords because they were lower on the totem pole. But then let's say I don't kill the squad. I shoot at him again. He still gets the roll for reanimation protocols again to see if those guys come back. And not just the ones I killed, even the ones I killed previously. That's insane.
Well, it was always where Necrons got tough.
That makes them pretty tough. You definitely have to sit there and pour fire into them. I do agree with you, though, that it will definitely reduce the bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. But, if you keep... It's one of those, okay, got them down to 3. You let them go and see, if you've done some damage and see if they lose a couple guys to morale. Or, go ahead and keep shooting, knowing that if you whiff on your attack and they have a great reanimation roll, that the whole unit could come back on you.
But that's always been
so. Yeah. So I think that'll be pretty cool. It says that cleans up a lot of the bookkeeping and gives them, makes them rather tough. So, of course, we also don't know how the new resurrection orbs and how the cryptex all affect all that. So that's all going to be, have to look for the new codex and find out what happens after that. So that is all your news. Quite a bit to fathom, quite a bit to think through. We'll see how this affects the meta. But basically, October, it all starts, and you'll start seeing on the tabletop sometime in October of this year. And then it looks like every 2 weeks thereafter, something new will be coming out. But first, we've got to talk about this past weekend, and we'll do that right after the break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert and use a unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. All right, we're back. So there's a major tournament overseas in lovely Norway, which are, I wonder how warm it is at this time of year, but we'll have to look that up on the app. But a very interesting top five. So after all that talk about how awesome Space Marines are and will get better, I think this will be a nice way to give you some hope for the future. Ray, who's our top five for this particular event?
For Invasion, we've got in fifth, Magnus.
I think it's Lane. I'm not sure. It's a hockey player with the same name.
Playing K. Okay. And fourth was Bjørn Olsen playing Orc. Third, Eric Keel.
Changed my
playing
name
Cult
that.
Mechanicus. Second. Second was Rasmus Valand Fredriksson playing Harlequin. And in first, Ari Verlo playing
In case
Slanesh.
You didn't hear that, your top three are Slanesh, Harlequins, both going undefeated, followed by Cult Mechanicus, Orcs, and Chaos. Then there's a quick go down a little bit further. Frode Brubakken played Ultramarines. He's the highest ranking Space Marine player, followed by Tor Eskelund, also with four wins. And then Harlequin, another Harlequin player, Marzius Wazarin, also had four wins. And an Adeptus Custode player in fourth place, as well as another Chaos player and another Orc player with fourth place. So craziness there. Let's take a look at these top winning lists. We'll start with Ari Verlo's Slanesh list. And this is one, looking at this, is one that it's very similar to what Scar has been talking about, and no one's listening. And I think finally somebody listened and took up his advice. So he starts off with a Chaos Demon Patrol Detachment. I can never pronounce this guy's name. Sileski? I'm trying to remember which one, though. It's the character. Celeste. There we go.
Celeste.
With Symphony of Pain and Delightful Agonies. Then a Contorted Epitone with Phantasmagoria and Hysterical Frenzy. It also gives it the Forbidden Gem Relic. Then he's got a unit of 26 Demonettes, including the Icon and the Instrument of Chaos, and two one-model units of Fiends of Slaanesh. Second Patrol features Keeper of Secrets, featuring Hysterical Frenzy and Delightful Agonies. He's got the Soul Stealer Relic. It's also his Warlord with Witching Aura and gave him the Exalted Keeper Stratagem, so he gets those extra buffs we talked about in Psychic Awakenings. For added fun, he didn't want to be alone, so he added a second one. This one was Symphony of Pain and Pavana Slaanesh, and also gave them the Exalted Keeper Stratagem. Another unit of 26 Demonettes, and then a unit of 4 Fiends of Slaanesh. And that is the whole list. So a little bit different from the typical Monster Mash, because they usually add in like a Keeper of Lord Change just for added fun. But right off the bat, I go that those big squads of Demonettes is something new and different. Haven't seen Fiends of Slaanesh on the table in quite some time. That's really cool. And but the Epitone still remains an auto take for most Slaanesh lists. Just interesting with all that speed, you know, the advance and charge that they all have. That's pretty crazy. And then the horn, I think the instrument gives them an extra plus one. Yeah, plus one. So pretty crazy stuff. Rasmus sent in the clowns, getting him also undefeated. His list looks something like this. He starts with Frozen Stars. I'm trying to see what is it, a battalion? Yes, it is a battalion. Featuring a Shadow Seer, the Incarn, and a Troop Master. Shadow Seer has Player Twilight, Shards of Light, Shield from Harm, Shuriken Pistol, Stratagem. Took on the pivotal role, so it also made him give him the Shadow Stone to extend his auras, Twilight Pathways, of course, and Veil of Illusion, and that is also his Warlord. Ingarn took Gaze of Ined and Sestra's Grace, standard when he's outside of Inari. And then the Troopmaster, interesting, kept him pretty bare bones, Choreographer of War, Fusion Pistol, and Harlequin Kiss. He's got one, two, three units of five troops, all with Fusion Pistols and Harlequin Blades, so it's 15 Fusion Pistols for you keeping track at home. The elite slot, it's got three Death Jesters. The first one, it has a Kegarix Lamont, which is the Relic Sniper Rifle. I think it does like three damage. It's pretty nasty. It was a Harvester of Torment. And then the next one has Humbling Cruelty. And the last one is a Just Inescapable. So he's got lots of tools in that slot alone. Then he includes three units of five Skyweavers and typical loadout, Haywire Cannon, Zephyrglaive. And, of course, three Starweavers to cart around his players. So I thought it was interesting he did Frozen Stars, which gives, you know, they're known for having their plus one to wound in close combat, and not Soaring Spite, which allows his pistols to advance and shoot. So, well, as long as they're in transports. But interesting. Not bad for a codex that only has seven units. Last but not least, my new alter ego, Eric Kill. I like that. He's playing a battalion of Deus Mechanicus, and he chose a custom Forge World. We don't see these too often. Took a Transnode Power Cores. I'll be honest with you, I have to look that up, what that does. Took a Data Lotus as well as a Tech Priest Dominus, and that Tech Priest is indeed his Warlord. And took an Engine Award, Learnings of the Genitor, as his Warlord trait. All right, this is a guy after my own heart. I love this list already. One, two, three, four, five units of five Cataphron Breachers, all with Arc Claw and Heavy Arc Rifle. Just remember, those are T5, three wounds, all OBSEC. That's awesome. Then he took an Archoraptor Fusilav with four Cognis Stubbers, which I think is in the command uplink. That's the transport version, right? Yep. Then he has a Spearhead, a Forge World Mars, featuring Belisarius Call. He's not brewing up more Primaris Marines. He does attend a few battles here and there. Unit of three Cerberus Raiders. And then in the heavy support slot, he's got one, two, three Castellan Robots. In a single unit and two Onager Doom Crawlers, all with broad spectrum data tethered and an Icarus Array. Interesting. Not the neutron laser. That's just a lot of I'm here, deal with it list. That is gross. I love it. I would love to. I'm trying to remember. You have to look up what this custom data world does, because normally with that many breachers, I always took Ryza and took all the plasma guns, and then just they have the similar to Weapons of the Dark Gauge, where they got the plus one wound and damage. Very, very cool. So there you go. Go across the pond to Scandinavia. You can find where Space Marines falter. One other thing we wanted to talk about, this is a follow-up to a previous story we talked about here on the Exterminatus podcast. If you went to Strike Force Games in Douglasville, Georgia, not only were you a sponsored event by BCP, which still not sure what the hell to do that, seems to be some sort of mystical tea leaves that tell you that you are sponsored or not. So if you go to their pairings and you click on a matchup, like I will do now, so I'm going to look at table one between Philip Kahn and John Weber. Normally you just see their lists and the fact that John won 85 to 62. They finally rolled out a new feature. We're going to press it now, and you get a scorecard. So you know exactly what happened. And this did update in real time. This was really cool over the weekend. So I can tell you that they played the retrieval mission. Philip was playing Ultramarines, whereas John was playing Adeptus Mechanicus. Philip started with 9 command points to John's 14 points. John did have first turn. Both players had battle-ready armies, so they got 10 points there. And then by turn, you can see who scored what points on primaries. So, for example, turn 2, both players scored 10 points. John took the lead on turn 3, scoring 15-5. Turn 4, it was 10-10 again, and then no player scored any primary points on turn 5. And then you can scroll down even further, and you can see which secondaries they took and how many points they got from each secondary. This is just awesome. I hope we get to see this in more events and hope we can find out ways. I'll see if I can reach out to BCP guys, find out how do you get that for your event so you can have this nifty little tool. It'd be really great for us to talk about how certain key matchups went during the tournament. Very nice.
That'd be kind of nice.
So there we go. Lots of changes, both in the how we play the games, but also new units from Games Workshop. Lots to see as things come down the pike. Not a whole lot of big releases this week, but then again, we've got that big weapons update this morning that was completely unexpected. So very cool. Take another look at some of your units. Double check those power swords. Maybe that might be a new option for you that you never knew. Ray, any parting thoughts before we head out?
I hope to find out more about Codex. I don't know. I'll be picking up either of these two codexes coming out next. In the meantime, I hope to see more events popping up to kind of get a better idea.
Very cool. Yeah. It's kind of, I'm getting more and more tempted to pick up the Necron Codex. Just get into my hands. Also kind of want to take for a test drive the whole digital format. So be curious to see, you know, because I've got the app and supposedly when you buy the paper codex, you get a free digital version of it as well. Or maybe vice versa. I just get the digital one and see what happens. But I'm curious to see how all that shapes up. So might be worth just the investment to do a little research. So any other breaking news, we'll post it on our Facebook page. Again, another episode next week. In the meantime, my name's Eric, and thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.